Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche once wrote, "Sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed." And I would say that such certainly rings true when we talk about death and the end times and the return of Christ Jesus. Folks make up and have made up all kinds of things about the gloriousness of death, about the joy of the last day, without any real biblical or concern for any real biblical veracity of their statements, simply because it makes them feel better. But who are we to change the scriptures in order to give people a false sense of security and serenity? And who are we to think that our false encouragement could be better and more effective than the truthful words of encouragement that God has already given to us in His Word? And so today we want to take a look at the real picture that the scriptures paint of the day of Christ's return, as opposed to the fantasy that many of us have constructed in our minds about that last day on earth. I'd like you to listen again to some of the language that Zephaniah records of the Lord concerning that day. Our Lord says, "I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. I will punish the princes and the king's sons and all those clad in foreign clothes." Zephaniah goes on to write, "The cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness." St. Paul also echoed these warnings of Zephaniah in our epistle reading today from 1 Thessalonians 5. He wrote, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying peace and safety. Destruction will come on them suddenly, and they will not escape it." So here's the deal. If you have ever pictured the day of Christ's return as a great and glorious day, a day of only joy and laughter and great happiness, then you haven't really been reading the scriptures very carefully, nor looking at the day in its totality. You see, thinking about the last day in terms of peace and joy and happiness and every other thing that Pollyanna might espouse to is like looking at D-Day in World War II, or the days on which we dropped the bombs, the atomic bombs, on Nagasaki and Hiroshima as days of great joy and happiness. Yes, those days helped us to win and end the war. That's true. But those days were also full of much death and great destruction. And so it will be on the day of Christ's return. Once and for all, Christ Jesus will visibly establish Himself as the Lord of the universe for all to hear and see. And His wrath and His judgment will be swift and severe, destroying every evil and casting all those who rejected Him into eternal punishment and darkness, where in the scriptures it says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It will be a day of sorrow and fear, a day of distress and anguish, a day of wrath and gloom. It is a day that should strike the fear of God into everyone that is not living under the delusion that it will merely be a day of peace and joy. Now, that being said, we as the redeemed of Christ should not be afraid of that day, nor dread that day as those who will be punished on that day. For while it will most certainly be a day of great distress and destruction, none of that gloom and doom will befall us. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 91, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." Or as Paul wrote in our epistle reading today, "You are all the sons of light and the sons of the day. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another." Absolutely. We are to encourage each other and to console each other and to build each other up. Not because the day of Christ's return is so wonderful and offers nothing of which to be afraid, but rather because we have a Savior who has given his life on a cross and has conquered death and the grave through his resurrection, so that the day of his return, that day of all reckoning and justice and punishment, will not be a day of destruction for us, but a day of deliverance for us. For you see, God appointed us for salvation through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And thus, while that day of the earth's demise will be a day of darkness and distress and destruction for most people, it will be a day of resurrection and restoration and salvation for us, the chosen and the redeemed of God. And one more word of encouragement from our text this morning. Notice that Paul wrote in verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians 5 these words. He said, "He," meaning Jesus, "died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him." Now, this can be one of three things, but by God's grace, all three are true. It can mean that whether we are physically awake and, you know, fully aware as we are during the day, or while we are asleep and unaware as we are during the night, that we are always covered by the blood-bought forgiveness of Jesus. One's salvation does not depend upon being awake and alert and consciously ready for Christ's return. Secondly, this text could also be referencing awake or asleep as a metaphor for life and death. So whether we are awake, meaning alive, functioning from day to day on this earth, or if we are asleep, meaning dead in the grave and doing and knowing nothing, yet still we are covered over by Christ's sacrifice. And his salvation is still our certain hope as his children. And finally, awake and asleep in this text could be a reference to the condition of a person's life and faith. Thus, whether a child of God is awake, that is, actively pursuing Christ and striving each day to live in obedience to Christ, or whether he is asleep, living according to the flesh and giving in to the sins of the flesh. Yet, by virtue of Christ's mark on his life, by faith through baptism, salvation in and through Christ is still his reward. All of which gives us even more reason to encourage one another and build one another up. Our world situation, our political unrest and racial divide, our COVID-19 crisis, none of it changes the hope and the promise that are ours because of Christ Jesus. No matter how bad things might get, no matter how horrible things will be in the last days, and especially on that day of Christ's return, the victory and the joy and the everlasting life and peace of God will still be ours, thanks to Jesus. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.